since I began speaking just now and glanced over here at the calendar. I believe I start my 40th year today with a weekly program on this radio station, finishing up 39 years and starting in the 40th year on this third Saturday in June. So we're happy to have you listening to this broadcast. Appreciate you who have been faithful to listen over the years. If you might be listening for the first time, may there be something in the message that will be a blessing to you. The regular services at the Portland Missionary Baptist Church are Sunday school at 10 o'clock, the morning worship service at 10:45, the Sunday evening service at 5 o'clock, the Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. Pastor Linda Davis will be speaking in all of these preaching services. The Lord willing, I'll be at the Unity Missionary Baptist Church at Perrin, Arkansas tomorrow, where I'm pastoring. Our Sunday school there is at 10 o'clock. Our preaching service is at 11 on Sunday morning. Then Sunday night, our service begins at 6 o'clock with Bible study. And we're studying in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And then at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, our song service and preaching service. Our Wednesday night service is also at 7 o'clock. This coming Wednesday night through Sunday night, June 25th through the 29th, I'm scheduled to be preaching in revival services at the Scotland Baptist Church out on Highway 95 at Scotland. Our services there each night will be at 7:30, and Wednesday night, June the 25th, the Portland Baptist Trio will be singing, services beginning at 7:30. This is Brother Fred Heidenreich and his wife Charlotte, and Brother David Garrick. Brother Charles Deckelman is pastor of this fine church, and I'm looking forward to being with them in this series of meetings. We invite you to the services there, Wednesday night through Sunday night, the 25th through the 29th at the Scotland Baptist Church. Turning to the Word of God in John chapter 8, we'll read about three verses there, verse 32 through 34, and then one verse of Scripture from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 3. John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Isn't that a precious word, free, to be free, to have freedom? "They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, or the slave of sin," the opposite of being free. And many people today who think that they are free are really slaves to sin. The other verse that I mentioned is in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." May we pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for every blessing. I thank you for the privilege of coming here and of having a radio audience to speak to. Thank you for the facilities that you have supplied in this area and for the freedom that we enjoy in proclaiming your word over the airwaves in this, our great state and country. Ask that you'd bless the radio station as you seemingly have, and bless the broadcast as it goes forth, and trust that it ever bring a message that would be honoring unto you. Make this message a blessing to someone. I thank you for it. I know that you have given me this message for this time, and I believe that you'll use it for good and for your glory. Come in behalf of those that are bereaved and those that are sick and troubled, the many who have heartaches and that are depressed, downtrodden, whatever the problem might be. Thou art God, and you're able to do all things. I pray that you lift up the ones that are downtrodden and bind up the brokenhearted, and come for your people soon. In Jesus' name and for his sake I pray. Amen. This one statement in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them." That verse of Scripture is painted on the back wall of the prison at Wrightsville, I believe. If you're a regular listener to the radio broadcast here, you know that I have a prison ministry, and it's something that's very dear to my heart, and it's something that I would ask you to pray that God would raise up some young men with a burden for those in prison and those that are on their way there. The first time that I preached in a prison was almost 40 years ago. It was on October the 27th, 1957, and so much has changed since that time. The prisoners are definitely younger, generally speaking. I believe that they are meaner and harder. I preached at an Arkansas prison recently where there were 1,200 inmates, and many, maybe most, are teenagers. They're there for capital offenses. Some are sentenced to life with no possibility of parole. And I'm not angry at them, but as I look around me day by day and learn more about those that are in the prisons and the things that we are surrounded with, I am angry at the underlying cause or causes of most of these youngsters being in prison. Drugs, alcohol, and many times uncaring parents who have brought them into the world have put them in these places. And I realize that some of the things that I bring you in this message, that some people are going to say, I don't believe that. Well, I say to people, you know, I'm not preaching what you believe. I'm preaching what I believe that the Lord's Word teaches. And these teens that are on my heart this morning that are in prison and some that are bound by the fetters and shackles of sin outside, that if God doesn't intervene, they're soon going to wind up dead or in prison. And these teenagers, boys and girls, many of them, and many of them that are in prison, are still, have been, and are still gang members, dope addicts, alcoholics. But to me, I look out there at them and preaching it to them, and to me, they're kids in trouble. They're kids with no home. Some of them are murderers, thieves, you name it, they've done it. But they are trapped like insects in the spider web of dope and different addictions and alcoholism. And there are many on our streets and county roads caught in that same web this morning. Not long ago, some of these that I'm talking about that are now incarcerated were out on the streets, and some of them will never be out again. So I want to give them a new start in life through Christ. And they can have freedom in Christ even though they are incarcerated. I believe that addiction to any drug or narcotic can be broken through the power of Christ. You see, I believe that nothing is greater than God. I believe nothing is too strong for Him. I believe that there's not anything that He cannot do. So my message this morning is to drugs, drug addicts, and alcoholics. And I believe that some are listening to me this morning. I'll tell you why I believe that. And only a preacher will understand this next statement that I'm going to make. But the Lord began to give me this message between 7 and 8 o'clock last night, and I went to bed with it completed at 3:15 this morning. And so I know where it came from, and I know that the Lord wanted it on these airwaves this morning. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. So I believe that there's someone listening that God is aiming at this morning. And I'll tell you, if He is, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you are listening this morning and you know someone who needs this message, you ought to ask for a tape, and I'll be glad to send you one or more at no cost whatever to you, and then you prayerfully and caringly and lovingly give it to that person that you believe needs it. Also, on the other side of the tape would be last week's Father's Day message. There is a cure for drug addiction and alcoholism. I have the answer to the problem, and I have the only answer permanently to the problem. There is a cure And it doesn't matter how long a person has been addicted, he or she can be cured. And I'm going to give you some steps concerning this. Number one is for that person to admit that they are hooked. You admit that you are hooked if you have that problem. You see, it doesn't matter, and this again some will disagree with me on, but it doesn't matter if you take a fix once a day or 10 times a day. You are hooked. You may only use it on weekends. You are still hooked. You may be just a weekend drinker or only drink at home. You're still hooked. So why not admit it and quit trying to cut down on your habit, because you know that you cannot help yourself, so why keep trying? Admit that you have a habit that you cannot control. I remember a man that I knew personally that passed away a few years ago who had a problem with alcohol, and I remember him telling me what a powerful man that he was politically, and it was hard for him to accept the fact that he couldn't control his own life. But let me tell you something this morning that I've learned over the years. There is no such thing as a controlled habit. When you come to the end of self and say, I cannot cure myself, then I'm ready to tell you something else. And the second thing that I'm going to tell you is stop looking for an easy way out. Jesus said more than one time, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. My listener, there is no magic cure. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's an old song that says, the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get the sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. I read where an English preacher of yesteryear made this statement. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And C.H. Spurgeon said, the older that I get, the simpler my theology becomes. And it's just come down to this, that Christ died for our sins. My listener, whoever you are a sinner who cannot cure himself or herself. Christ died for sinners like that. Listen to these verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, when we were yet without strength, does that describe you? When we were yet without strength, it does, whether you realize it or not. But that verse goes on to say, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8 says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. What? Sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So what does that say? It says that we are ungodly sinners and enemies. Hospitals and clinics cannot cure you from the habit because of your sinful nature, and underscore the line cure. They cannot cure you from the habit because of your sinful nature. They may help you, and I appreciate all the help that is offered and given, but they cannot help you on a permanent basis. But what I'm talking to you about is something that will give you a permanent fix. And hospitals and clinics will admit that they cannot give you a permanent cure. And deep down in your heart, you know that they cannot. They can give you some temporary relief, but what you need is a permanent cure. Listen to this scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 36 and 37. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. A new heart. You get that? A new heart. Also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Are you tired of that sin-filled life? Are you tired of fighting a losing battle? That seems that the harder that you try, the deeper that you get. Well, listen to God's word. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, seminars and group therapy programs do not produce permanent cures. Let me tell you something else. Don't make some kind of a profession just to please somebody else, because you are just fooling yourself if you make a decision, you turn over a new leaf just to keep your wife, or just to keep your husband, or just to keep your job, or just to make your mother or some friend happy. You must, in your heart, be sick and tired of sin. And as the words of the psalmist in the 51st division of Psalms, and I don't recall exactly the verses, but like verse 7, 9, and 10, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Lord, you do it. I can't do it, but you purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. You wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Blot out all my iniquities. You see, a lot of people want to be saved from some of their sins, but they don't want to be saved from all of their sins. That won't get it, brother. You've got to come to the point where you can say, "Blot out all my iniquities. I'm sick and tired of all of it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And number 3, surrender completely to God. He is the only one who can cure you. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 37 and verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Listen now. "Trust also in him." Now, trust, that's just another word for believe, isn't it? Didn't Paul tell the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved"? You see, the message is the same from cover to cover of God's word. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 is that same word again. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not," now listen to this, "lean not unto thine own understanding." When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, in the 3rd chapter of John, it's recorded, Jesus said to him in about verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand that, because he said, "How can a man be born when he's old?" And Jesus went on to say to him in about verse 8, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So," or just like that, "is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And Jesus said to him, "Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, you don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Because that scripture goes on to say in John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you must believe. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So you must believe that God is, and you must believe that the Bible is the word of God. Jesus said in our text verse there, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, it is not enough just to believe that God is. Because not only must you believe that God is, but you must believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your Savior. The Bible makes this promise in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So it is mouth confession to heart salvation. And my listener, that's the only hope you have of a permanent cure. Jesus said in John chapter 10, beginning in about verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now let me give you another word or two in closing. When you are cured, when you are healed, when you are cleansed, when you are saved, which is all the same thing, stay away from your old life as if it were hell itself. I was not saved until I was 29 years old. I hesitated to tell that because I've mentioned it a number of times over the years. But I mention it just to tell you that there are some reasons that I know some things from experience. I was not saved until I was 29 years old. Started preaching 11 months of the day that I was saved. And I had a very sinful life. A life of alcohol. Before I was saved, we didn't know anything about drugs back then. But what I'm telling you is something that I know, something that I have worked with for years. As I worked many years in the sheriff's department locally, with people that had problems with drugs and alcohol and so on. And so I'm telling you that once you are cured, once you are healed, once you are cleansed, once you are saved, then stay away from the old life. You cannot go back to the old neighborhood and your old friends. You have a new life. Start serving God and you'll make new friends. Begin to serve God in His church, and you will soon be loving things you once hated and hating things you once loved. Guaranteed. Shake off the old fears. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Our Father. Galatians 5:1 said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be afraid of your past. Don't be afraid that you'll go back again. I remember a preacher telling me when I first announced my call to preach, and he knew about my life before I was saved, and about my friends that I had at that time, and in fact, about all the friends that I had were like me. And I remember a statement that he made to me. He said, just burn the bridges behind you and don't ever look back. And I guess that's what I'd say to you. Don't be afraid of your past. Don't be afraid you'll go back. You see, God gives 100% cure. When God forgives your sins, He forgets them. Isaiah 38:17 said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. My friends, you'll not ever have a better feeling than to know that your sins are gone and that they are forgiven, that they're under the blood, that they're behind the back of God, that they're cast into the depths of the sea. And Hebrews 8:12 said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Let me tell you something else before we run out of time. Don't fear what people will say or think about you coming to Jesus Christ for the cure. I can't remember songs, and I certainly can't sing, but the words of some old song kind of come to my mind. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of life will grow strangely dim in the light of his mercy and grace. When fear arises, it's there Satan is allowed to bring that before you to confuse and to bother you. Let me tell you what'll work. Get away by yourself. Kneel down before God. Ask him to keep you in perfect peace. How do I know he'll do that? Because he said he would in his word. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then just keep on believing. May God bless you. I thank you for your listening, and until we meet again, goodbye.